From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Presiden Joko Widodo meets Papua People's Council representatives at Bogor Palace. Minister Muhammad Lutfi revokes ban on CPO exports. Now the news in detail. Presiden Joko Widodo met representatives of the Papua People's Council and West Papua People's Council at Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java on Friday. They discussed the carving out of new autonomous regions in Papua. As quoted by Antara in a virtual statement which was accessed from Jakarta on Friday, head of Jayapura District Matius Awoitau, who represented the delegation, lauded the meeting with President Joko Widodo. He also explained that the meeting was held to clarify conflicting information on the implementation of Law No. 2 of 2021 on special autonomy in Papua Province, which also includes new autonomous regions. Minister of Trade Muhammad Lutfi announced on Friday the revocation of a temporary ban on exports of crude palm oil, refined bleach and deodorized palm oil, palm olein and used cooking oil. His side followed up on President Joko Widodo's directives to reopen the export of CPO and its derivatives. Minister Lutfi, in a statement accessed from Jakarta on Friday, explained that his ministry revokes the Trade Minister's Regulation No. 22 of 2022 to that effect. He also informed that his side will allow exports of CPO and its derivatives from May 23, 2022, in accordance with the President's directives. Minister of Manpower Ida Fauzia has urged staff at the Kendari Vocational and Productivity Training Center, Southeast Sulawesi, to continuously develop skilled and competitive workers to help reduce the unemployment rate in the region. The minister said in a written statement released by the Public Relations Office of the Kendari Vocational and Productivity Training Center on Friday, as quoted by Antara. The center serves as the Ministry Central Technical Implementation Unit in Southeast Sulawesi Province. Fauzia had accompanied Vice President Ma'ruf Amin to the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of the PT Nusantara Industri Sejati Industrial Estate in North Konawa, Southeast Sulawesi on Thursday. Speaking at the ceremony, the Vice President advised the management of the industrial estate to employ local workers both during construction and operation. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The European Union supports Indonesia's effort to apply an environmentally friendly aviation system through a performance-based navigation scheme. Through cooperation between the European Union Aviation Safety Agency and the Directorate General of Air Transportation at the Indonesian Transportation Ministry, flights to Bajawa, Larantuka, and Atambua have applied the procedure. The Performance-Based Navigation, or PBN, initiated by the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, EASA, and the Directorate General of Air Transportation is a model of extraordinary cooperation between the European Union and Indonesia to increase safety. It was said by European Union Ambassador to Indonesia Vincent Piket in a written statement received by Antara on Friday. PBN that uses satellite and instrumentation within aircraft to help pilot navigation is currently available at airports in 3 cities. Turkey's approach to the NATO accession process of Sweden and Finland is not a bilateral issue between Washington and Ankara, the U.S. State Department said on Friday, but added that Washington was speaking with Ankara and it remained confident that the dispute would be overcome. As quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com, Finland and Sweden say they have been spurred into joining the North Atlantic Treaty Organization by Russia's February 24th invasion of Ukraine, reversing generation of military non-alignment to bring about the biggest shake-up in European security in decades. Turkey surprised NATO allies last week by objecting to the move, pressing Sweden to halt support for Kurdish militants it considers part of a terrorist group. It pressed both Sweden and Finland to lift their bans on some arms sales to Turkey. Having long trod a similar path in tackling low inflation, Japan and Europe now appear to be taking contrasting approaches to monetary policy and the risk of rising prices, which drew warnings at this week's Group of Seven gathering in Germany. Bank of Japan Governor Haruhito Kuroda repeated his dovish mantra on Friday, saying the recent cost push inflation will be short-lived and will not warrant withdrawing stimulus. As quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com, Kuroda said after attending the G7 finance leaders meeting that there's absolutely no change to their view. It's appropriate to maintain yield curve control policy, including negative interest rates. Millions of Australians are heading to the polls on Saturdays for the country's first elections since 2019. As reported by BBC.com, it sees Prime Minister Scott Morrison go up against one of the country's longest-serving politicians, Labour leader Anthony Albanese. The rising costs of living and climate change have shaped up as two key issues for voters, but the election has largely been framed as a referendum on the leader's characters. Opinion polls suggest Labour will win by a narrow majority this time around. However, the polls were widely inaccurate in the last election. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is news from across the country. The first news comes from Palembang, South Sumatra. Students of Kagoshima University, Japan, visited the location of urban farming research of lecturers and students of Sriwijaya University in the Jakabaring, Palembang, South Sumatra, Tuesday. One of the urban farming research sites visited belonged to a senior lecturer at the university, Professor Benjamin Lakitan. The professor explained to the Japanese students he and a number of the university lecturers and students are developing urban agricultural research utilizing the limited area of his house yard as optimally as possible. The land is used for fish cultivation and various types of vegetable and medicinal plants. The next news comes from Medan, North Sumatra. Japanese academics and businessmen visited the Muhammadiyah University of North Sumatra to establish research collaborations on renewable energy development. The scientists from Nagaoka University of Technology, Japan, and businessmen were accompanied by the Financial Customs Department of the Indonesian Embassy in Japan, Fadli Ridaldi Lubis. The Chancellor of the University, Agus Sani, in Medan on Tuesday said the Muhammadiyah University is ready to establish research and education collaborations with Nagaoka University of Technology, Japan. Likewise, with the plan to develop renewable energy research projects, especially the use of palm oil waste by involving entrepreneurs. Meanwhile, Dean of the Faculty of Engineering and Innovation at Nagaoka University of Technology, Professor Kobayashi, revealed his visit was to continue the Super Global Project launched by Nagaoka University of Technology, which has collaborated with 9 countries, including Indonesia. The latest news comes from Maluku Province. Maluku Natural Resources Conservation Agency officers, Saumlaki Region 3 Conservation Section, and Tanimbar Reset Police released 88 Tanimbar parrots, or Eos reticulata, in Amdasa Village Forest, Wartamrian District, Tanimbar Islands Regency, Maluku Province, last Wednesday, May the 18th. According to the forest ranger Seto, the Tanimbar parrot released in Amdasa Village Forest was confiscated from the perpetrators of the wildlife trade crime in Saumlaki City. The Tanimbar parrot is a protected wild animal according to the regulation of the Minister of Environment and Forestry concerning plant and animal species protected area. Conservation organization International Union for Conservation of Nature included the parrot in the list of endangered species. Well, that was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event of May 21, 1904, when FIFA was founded in Paris, France. The International Football Federation, or FIFA, is the main organization of football throughout the world. The headquarters of FIFA is in Zurich, but it was founded in Paris, France, on May 21, 1904. The purpose of the formation of FIFA is that the citizens of the world at that time needed an organization that was able to promote football across the world, including protection of the rights of players, as well as stipulation and enforcement of football regulation. Now we move to May 21, 1991, when Indian Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi was assassinated. Rajiv Gandhi was the former Prime Minister of India who served from October 31, 1984 to December 2, 1989. He is the son of Indira Gandhi and grandson of Jawaharlal Nehru, who both served as Prime Minister of India. On May 21, 1991, at 10:21 local time, Tenmozi Rajaratnam, alias Danu, approached Rajiv Gandhi, who was campaigning in Sriperumbudur, a city near Chennai, the capital of Tamil Nadu. The young woman bent down and touched the feet of the former Indian Prime Minister. Afterwards, an explosive of laden RDX suicide belt inside the body of Danu's dress exploded. It also killed Rajiv Gandhi and 14 others. The Tamil separatist group from Sri Lanka, the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, is accused to be a mastermind of the murder. We end today in history with the event of May 21, 1998, when Suharto resigned from his position as Indonesian president. On May 21, 1998, at 9 a.m. local time, it became a big history for the Indonesian people. President Suharto, who has been in power for 32 years, finally declared his resignation from the position of Indonesian president. He handed over his power to Vice President B.J. Habibie. It was because of various riots that occurred in Indonesia that wanted Suharto to step down from his position. The multidimensional crisis of 1997-1998 was the main reason for lots of riots in many regions in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Jalani setiap hari bersama. Oh, lalu ku jadi suka. Ooh, ada kamu di hidupku. Awalnya biasa, tapi lama-lama ku selalu menunggu pesan dari kamu. Mungkin karena kita terbiasa jalani setiap hari bersama. Oh, lalu ku jatuh cinta.
Still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia pushes equitable access to energy in archipelago countries. The government of Indonesia through the G20 International Forum encourages increased accessibility and distribution of energy in archipelagic countries to realize the 2030 agenda related to sustainable development. Deputy Chair of the G20 Energy Transition Working Group, Prahoro Nur Cahyo, said Indonesia is a member of the G20 and ASEAN as well as the largest archipelagic country in the world that has a special interest in raising the issue of clean energy access and energy transition in the context of the archipelago as a discussion theme. Quoting the Antara News Agency report on Wednesday, May the 18th, Prahoro Nur Cahyo said special attention was also given to underdeveloped countries, developing countries, and small islands. He explained that the Indonesian G20 presidency collaborated with the United Nations, ESCAP, or the Economic Commission and UN Social Affairs for Asia and the Pacific, will raise such issues throughout the presidency. Prahoro Nur Cahyo said archipelagic countries are the first to suffer losses due to climate change. According to him, archipelagic countries are not only experiencing land subsidence and seawater intrusion, but also various other ecological or environmental problems. He added important issues related to the unaffordable cost of reliable energy sources and other sustainable energy-related issues in relation to remoteness and lack of connectivity are points of discussion in Indonesia's G20 presidency. He explained, currently energy is a sustainable need to further improve social and development aspects. Therefore, Indonesia should try to improve policies and strategies that are more innovative. Dependence on diesel power plants in the archipelago is very high cost for local students. Therefore, policy solutions such as innovative technologies and new and renewable energy and energy storage are quite important to solve the problems. According to him, this will require large investment, broad social acceptance, and strong political commitment. On the same occasion, Prahoro Nurcahyo also explained that the G20 summit in the middle of the year will be followed by the summit of island and archipelago countries. He emphasized this year's presidency will be a powerful moment to raise the importance of sustainable access and energy transition in archipelagic countries. Meanwhile, Deputy Head of the Energy and Environment Office of the Italian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, Nicola Bazzani, appreciated Indonesia's step in G20 presidency, which continued discussion related to energy security and energy access in archipelagic countries while ensuring that the energy transition could achieve economic and other financial challenges. He said that collaboration between the government and the private sector could be one of the solutions in promoting energy accessibility and equity because there are more than 800 islands that require solution for electric power and energy security. Well, that was my Indonesia today.
Give it all you've got. Talk in harmony. Breathe.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is National Awakening Museum. The National Awakening Day is often commemorated at the National Awakening Museum located on Jalan Dr. Abdul Rahman Saleh number 23 in Central Jakarta. This museum building is an old one which stores thousands of memories collected from hundreds of years. Before becoming the National Awakening Museum, this building was known as the Stovia Building or the Medical School Building, which was established by the Dutch under the name School Tot Opleiding van Inlandsche Artsen or Stovia. This Dutch medical school was known by the indigenous people as the Bumiputra Medical School. Listener, this historical building was established in 1899. It stands on an area of 15,742 square meters. Being full of Dutch architecture, this building is lined with solid thick walls that still exist until now. Since the first time of the development, this building was intended as a medical school and dormitory for Stovia. The use of the building had changed completely when Japan came around 1942. For approximately 12 years, this building functioned as a detention room for Dutch troops against the Japanese. Then, from 1945 to 1973, the old building was used as a residence for the family of Dutch soldiers and several families from Ambon, Maluku. There are many reasons why this building is an important building for history of Indonesia. Firstly, this building is a witness to the birth of national movement organizations such as Budi Utomo. Secondly, this building is also an elite school that has produced several national figures who have contributed greatly to Indonesia. Thereby, precisely in 1973, the provincial government of the Special Capital Region of Jakarta renovated the Stovia building. Listener, on May 20, 1974, it coincided with the commemoration of the National Awakening. This building was inaugurated as the National Awakening Building by President Suharto. The building, which is divided in four parts, is used as the Budi Utomo Museum, the Women's Museum, the Press Museum, and the Health Museum. Finally, on February 7, 1984, this building officially became the National Awakening Museum and was later designated as a cultural conservation object so that the integrity of the building must be preserved without any renovation. To visit this National Awakening Museum, visitors still have to pay attention to the health protocols in place. Visitors and officers must continue to wear masks. The National Awakening Museum starts operating at 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. of local time Jakarta from Tuesday to Friday. Meanwhile, on Mondays and national holidays, the museum is closed. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder read by Ahmad Faisal.
Driving my bride through the city in the night, looking for the spotlights to shine, shining down on me so bright. Driving my bride through the city in the night, everything is good and all right. We're gonna party till the morning light.
Of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. Hello, VOI listener. Welcome back to miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. Today, we talk about Indonesian designer goes international through upcycling fashion. Another creative actor from Indonesia emerges with global scale work, this time from the fashion world, to be more precise, a designer or fashion designer with sustainable principles named Diana Rikasari. Diana Rikasari herself is not a new name in the Indonesian fashion world. At first, she was widely known as a fashion blogger, which also led the woman to become a writer. Since the beginning of her career, Diana has specifically focused more on upcycling fashion. Upcycling itself is the process of recycling various types of goods or materials in the surrounding environment that are considered as waste into goods that are more attractive, valuable, and can be reused by everyone. Diana's upcycling fashion works have caught the attention of Urban Outfitters, a fashion brand from the United States. Urban Outfitters invited Diana to work together precisely on the commemoration of Earth Day last April 22nd. To voice her concern for the environment, in this collaboration, Diana was asked to make a number of attractive clothes, but by using leftover materials or trash that had not been used before. Later, Diana made 60 clothes to sell. Half of them, or 30 clothes, were sold online through the official website of the Urban Outfitters company, namely urbanoutfitter.com. Meanwhile, the remaining 30 were on display and sold directly at the Urban Outfitter store located in Herald Square, New York. Diana revealed that it only took about 1 month to be able to produce the entire 60 collection of clothes. She did the process from designing to sewing all by herself. What made Diana quite happy was the extraordinary response she got from her hard work. If you check the website, Diana's clothes are almost sold out and only a few collections left. Actually, this is not the first time that Diana Rikasari's work has gone international. Previously, one of her works in the form of shoes from Eyewear Up, a fashion brand that she started, were also included as fashion items in a Hollywood film. An actress named Grace Van Der Waal wore the shoes when she was cast in the film Stargirl. In the future, Diana admitted that she wants to spread more understanding about upcycling fashion. This is proven by her fashion products, which have a different production system than mass production like other fashion lines. Diana hopes that in the future there will be more parties who want to work with her, because the more collaboration she has, the wider the message she wants to convey to the public about the use of recycled materials, not only in Indonesia, but also in the world. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
We said hello to the morning sun, wide open eyes to the highest sky. Start the day with a wider smile. Thank God for all the things we have. To the highest level of this life and dreams that we have planned. To the highest hopes and deepest fears we only had one.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyō shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Hasrat Menyala by Mamik Marsudi. To wish something that is present in the soul is a strong desire. The desire will come to our soul when we imagine something or see something directly. A sense of expression of the soul has to be done at the time. The keroncong song Hasrat Menyala was composed by Marjo Kahar, which tells the story of his desire to struggle for life. When desire comes and burns the soul, human beings will struggle to achieve the desire. Happiness will be realized if we can feel the desire. Well, listener, here is Mamik Marsudi with the keroncong song entitled Hasrat Menyala. Thank you. Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.